Wednesday, November 13th, the memorial of St. Francis Cabrini. First reading from the letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Beloved, remind them to be under the control of magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be open to every good enterprise. They are to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, exercising all graciousness toward everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deluded, slaves to various desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful ourselves and hating one another. But when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. Haydock Commentary. St. Jerome says, at the time St. Paul wrote this epistle to Titus, there were many Jews, particularly the disciples of Judas of Gaulen, who maintained that the Hebrews were under no obligation of obeying any other than God, or at most the rulers of their own nation. St. Paul here admonishes them that in conformity with the example and instruction of our divine Savior, they ought likewise to obey every other temporal prince set over them by the Almighty, provided they commanded nothing contrary to the law of God. Piety teaches and pastors should enforce three duties towards princes: submission to their authority, obedience to their laws, and a disposition of heart to meet all their just desires. Regarding verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, etc., we may see in this portrait of a child of Adam, drawn by the hand of a master, what we should have been without Jesus Christ, and what we perhaps have been, as often He has abandoned us to ourselves. Whoever cannot read in this his own depravity has never studied as he ought his own heart. Regarding verse 5, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, etc., St. Paul in this verse alludes to the sacrament of baptism. This text is brought by divines to prove that baptism, like every other sacrament, produces its effect by its own power, or as it is termed in the schools, ex opere operato, independently of any disposition on the part of the receiver. We are saved, says the Apostle, not by the works of justice or any good works we have performed, but our salvation must be attributed solely to the mercy of our Savior, God, manifested to us by the washing itself of regeneration and renovation of the Holy Ghost. That is, baptism, by which we are born anew the adoptive children of God, by the grace of the Holy Ghost, whom He hath poured into our hearts. All presumption of human merits, which have not the grace of Jesus Christ for their principle, is here completely confounded, and the whole glory of our salvation is justly attributed to the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, a new birth, new creature, new spirit. The effusion of the water upon the body in baptism is a figure of the salutary effusion of the Holy Spirit in the soul to renew it and to make it a child of God. This admirable, and I may say divine, adoption is the sole foundation of a Christian's hope, as the eternal life of the blessed is the sole end of this adoption. The Gospel from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As Jesus continued His journey to Jerusalem, He traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As He was entering a village, 10 lepers met Him. They stood at a distance from Him and raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priests. As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked Him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? Then He said to him, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. Haydock Commentary. Jesus sends them to the priest to convince the latter of the reality of the cures which He wrought, and oblige them by that to acknowledge Him for their Messiah. Secondly, that the lepers might enjoy the fruit of their cure by returning to the society of their fellow men after they had been declared clean and satisfied all the demands of the law, for there were many ceremonies previous to be gone through. And lastly, to show that in the new law, such as are defiled with the leprosy of sin should apply to the priests. Hence, says St. Augustine, let no one despise God's ordinance, saying that it is sufficient to confess to God alone. Regarding verse 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. Were not the others also made whole? They were cleansed indeed from their leprosy, but it nowhere appears that they were justified in their souls like this Samaritan, of whom it is said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Whereas it was said of the others that they were made clean, that is, of their leprosy in their body, though not justified in their soul. This the Samaritan alone seems to have obtained.